A Willing Crisis of Mind. An excerpt from A Fire Runs Through All Things, Zen Koans for Facing the Climate Crisis by Susan Murphy. Subtitle, Teachings on Earth, Mind and Not Knowing. Your job is to get past yourself. Self-consciousness fades in Zazen to the degree that it is replaced by, who is this? Once called me, now no longer in need of a name, wonder becomes your mind. The heart facing a world on fire can begin to transmute an anguished, what can I do, into a recognition of how much we share in a wider mind that can perceive the entire field of possibilities. It begins to speak in terms more like, what is wanted here? Or what does this need me to see? Zen koans form an impasse for the thinking mind that, persisted with, can become the open, unobstructed way of no mind, not knowing that subscribes to no dream of separation. They use the flow of what is happening as the means of propulsion, which means we always have what we need and nothing is actually missing. To take up a koan is to willingly accept enduring a crisis of mind that cannot be resolved by the usual means. The mind that has been trained to identify and establish difference as the basis of all meaning has to be healed back into the infinitely varied completeness of rivers, wind, stars, and all other things. When a crisis can no longer be denied, life becomes more sharply real, and discoveries can break through the wall of what you thought you knew. Crisis itself becomes koan-like when accepted as a question, with the force to overturn the thinking that created it, to heal us back into a more viable reality. Impasse can abruptly turn into a wide field of benefaction. Koans will not engineer better security. The true refuge turns out to be just what is, which is continuous with what we are. There is no outside to this. The mind that koans wake up is not alarmed, but rather buoyed by the fluid, empty passing through status of all beings and things. So Sandra and I recently returned from a trip to Croatia, primarily, and it was incredibly hot. It felt like over 100 degrees most days, and I remember coming up to the apartment where we were staying, and outside of it, there was a man standing there, just sweat pouring down his shirt. And I looked at him, and I said, "Whoo, hot, huh?" And he looked at me and probably saw the same reflection. And he said, unbelievable. And he told me that his air conditioning had broken the day before, and that he lived there and he was working on it, and that this was the hottest that it had ever been, and that the sea was the warmest it had ever been. And I looked at him and I said, not good. And he had a very serious look on his face and he said, not good. And that moment really hit me pretty hard, actually. It turns out that we've just broken yet another record for the hottest day in the world. And we keep breaking record after record after record. And I was reading this book at the time, this book called A Fire Runs Through All Things. And I think it's beautifully written. I recommend it for everyone. I mean, ultimately, a big takeaway is that this practice is marvelous, that this practice that we do together, and that koans in particular have such power for the way to open the heart mind to things just as they are, which also opens up possibility in terms of how we might respond rather than getting stuck in our despair, rather than getting stuck in certain paths being the only way, we might find ourselves being able to be a little bit more creative and responsive moment after moment in the very context, the ever shape-shifting context of our lives. That's what koans invite us into. They invite us into not knowing. Such a humble thing in the mind that grasps for fixed answers is often so frustrated by the koan path because they make no sense in that way. And in a sense, this comparison of the climate crisis to a koan really resonated for me because in so many ways, to me, the way the world is moving and headed makes just no sense. And how do we engage with something that makes no sense, where we see so much, so many choices that feel illogical? And then, of course, there we go on into the place of separation. You know, I'm the good guy and other people are the bad guy. And meanwhile, of course, you know, I'm living in a country where we produce more greenhouse gases than most people do. We produce more in a month than many people in the world do in a year. I am by no means innocent. I'm part of the problem. Where do I get off separating from it in that way? Elevating myself, blaming others. I'm very much part of the issue. And that's humbling to realize. But it seems so important to not think that I have all the answers. To recognize that I don't know how to deal with what's happening. That the problem is so much bigger than my little brain can figure out. When we begin to investigate it, we enter into all kinds of political questions and scientific questions, and it just goes on and on. How to convince people, and et cetera, et cetera. We can very quickly move into a place of feeling just completely overwhelmed by this unfolding emergency, this world on fire, literally on fire. I have a friend who was trying to buy land to start a camp in California, and he was not allowed to do it. And the reason was because the fire marshal said, you can't have a camp out in these woods. we wouldn't be able to get to you and save you in time and all the kids if there were a fire. 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been the answer. Things are changing so fast. We can all see it. We can all feel it. Our sweaty evenings here. A few years ago, it wouldn't have been like this. Now, tonight, we have a cooler night. But we had weeks of dripping in sweat together in this room. And there was part of me that was grateful for it. To not be separated from the, quote, problem. To feel it in our skin. To sweat it out together. Feels meaningful and important. To recognize it with our whole bodies. So the koan path invites us to a place of humility, a place of not knowing. Each koan we get, we say, what? What? What am I supposed to do with that? Does a dog have Buddha nature? No. Now go sit with that. What? What am I supposed to do? We're thrown into not knowing over and over and over again as we walk that koanic path. And that path is just like our lives. What am I supposed to do? We're swimming in the Adriatic, and it's one of the cleanest oceans in the world. And yet going out just a few feet into the water, there was all this plastic floating in it. I didn't say anything, but I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken to see that. To see what we are doing. And to recognize that I am part of the problem. I go out and buy my food and I can't avoid it. I can't avoid buying that stuff. Quite a koan, isn't it? So this morning, you know, right now it's about 3:30 for me and my, we just got back, and I have not adjusted in terms of sleep. I didn't adjust on the trip until the very last day we were there. So I was horribly sleep deprived through this whole trip, even though it was so beautiful. I'm not trying to complain, but I'm quite sleep deprived right now, actually. And I woke up this morning at, believe it or not, I won't go into the explanation. I got it all backwards. I don't know how it happened, but I inverted the whole time switch somehow. So I woke up at about 3 o'clock this morning, and it was 2:30, 3 o'clock, and that was it. It was morning for me. I was up. So I only got a few hours of sleep because we didn't get to bed till late, so I got up, and I was a little bit of a basket case thinking about this problem that had really shown itself into my heart during our trip and that I was just feeling so deeply. And I drove to Mount Auburn Cemetery, where my parents are buried, and I went to their grave. And I sat before them. And I asked them, I called out to them, to my ancestors. And I knew that I was calling out to all ancestors in that moment. And I asked, what is the way? Could you show me the way? Show us the way. One of the things that Susan Murphy advocates is sitting down on the earth in nature and listening deeply for what the earth needs. And when I heard that, it touched my heart so, so deeply. So I kind of unconsciously was following her encouragement. And after I called out, I had tears in my eyes as I called out. I was really in a place of struggle here. How can my life serve this earth? The problem is so big. I was in such a place of sadness and despair about it. I was thinking about the enormous amount of the natural world that has been just consumed in the last 50 years by our seemingly endless appetites. Wondering how we could put the brakes on this. How could we salvage this earth? And not just for future generations, but not only for future generations, but for the intrinsic, innate beauty and value of the earth itself. Because I love fresh, clean air and water and birds singing. And there are fewer of them now than there have ever been. And I compare it to what it was like when I was a child, and I can see the difference. I can see all the land eaten up. And I was so sad. And somehow I turned back into a child, remembering what the world used to be like as I sat there before my parents. And I called out to them, please, show me the way. What is the way? There is that questioning heart. There is the koan, the willingness to be in the place of just no knowing, of not knowing. It's not a grandiose thing. It's just honesty. And then to listen. And as I sat there listening, a breeze began to stir up and rustle the leaves in the trees overhead. And a few birds fluttered down and landed in the long grass in front of me and vanished into it and started pecking away at seeds in the earth. I was receiving the answer. Do you see? There's a beautiful koan that frames this book. Young men, and one of the lines in the koan is, the whole earth is medicine. Medicine and sickness heal each other. The whole earth is medicine. Then what is this self? We fight so hard for a self that we think is a separate thing that needs to possess more and more. And so we divide and conquer and ruin. What if that's not what the self actually is? What if we inter-are with this earth, with the air that we breathe, the water we drink, the birds singing in the trees? What if there really is no gap at all? When you taste that, your boundless true nature, which is always present, the whole earth is medicine. That calling out is also the response. And the response is the calling out. The birds fluttering to the earth. Are landing inside my heart and inside your heart. What love is there? What profound, infinite appreciation, not born out of some idea or some concept, but the thing itself, nothing other than what is, exactly what is. In this moment, the cool air in the Zendo, on our skin, nourishing us, entering us, healing us. This earth gives us so, so much. How can we not love her when we see the way things actually are? Thank you.